The FBI says Jeffrey Weiss had already shot his grandparents when he arrived at the school on Monday. He walked in wearing his grandfather's bulletproof vest, shot the unarmed security guard at the door, then walked the halls, shooting others. Police were on the scene within a couple of minutes, and about 10 minutes into the rampage, confronted by police, Weiss shot himself.
Ken Trump is president of National School Safety and Security Services in Cleveland, Ohio, and he joins us now. Ken, this incident at the Red Lake Indian Reservation in Minnesota shows that even if a plan is in place, they didn't have much time to enact it.
It's very difficult to guarantee 100% security, and the two things that most parents want to know is, number one, are there steps in our child's school to keep schools safe and to prevent an incident? And number two, is there a plan for responding when an incident occurs? Sometimes the best thing a plan gives us is organized chaos versus unorganized chaos. And there is no crisis incident that can follow a script. We can do the best that we can in planning, and still the crisis situation may throw us off the tracks and go in a different direction beyond what we've trained for and have on paper.
But this incident really seems to point out the vulnerability of schools and school officials and students. The student began shooting at 2:55. Police arrived at 2:57, and the whole thing was over by 3:05.
Any emergency incident unfolds so quickly. One of the things that we've been stressing in our training for teachers and administrators is that we have to be capable of thinking on our feet and thinking quickly. Law enforcement, military officials, and other safety professionals are prepared to do that, but our teachers and our administrators are very caring, concerned people who work together in teams and often have some time to process things. And it's a whole new world for our educators on the front lines of school safety today, because they truly are the first responders to an emergency.
A whole new world. The wake-up call, I guess, came in April of 1999 in the Columbine shooting. What's changed since then?
Well, we're almost 6 years from Columbine, and in the weeks and months after Columbine, we saw a great deal of emphasis on teaching people to recognize early warning signs of violence, some of the clues that people are looking at today to see if they were actually missed in the Red Lake situation. We've worked on improving security, access control to your buildings, communications capabilities in emergencies, relationships with law enforcement, developing emergency plans. But what concerns us is that in the past couple of years, that progress that was made immediately after Columbine has actually stalled and is slipping backwards in some communities. We're facing three problems today. One, decreased funding for school safety. Two, an increased competition for time. As we focus on improving academics and test scores, that's taken away from teacher training and emergency planning time. And number three, we face, as we do all the time in these situations, our biggest enemy, which is complacency and denial. Time and distance from a high-profile incident breeds complacency, it fuels denial, and that can be our worst enemy.
What do the statistics tell us at this point?
Actually, it's not well known and hasn't captured a lot of our attention, but school-associated violent deaths actually spiked last year. We tracked 49 school deaths, which is more than the two previous years and more than any single year since before Columbine. We're up now to at least 28 this year, possibly some more we're looking into. And that's an upswing from the previous years. Unfortunately, our national data is very scarce and flawed because we don't have mandatory school crime reporting. So what we tell parents is that we want you to send your children to school and to feel comfortable that schools are one of the safest places in the community. But statistically, we don't know exactly whether crime's going up or down since there's no mandatory federal tracking. And we don't want to overstate the problem as well.
We should note also that killings on school grounds are exceedingly rare in the United States, but school officials have tried all kinds of things: metal detectors, security cameras, armed guards, in some cases awarding students who will drop a dime and tell on a student who might be thinking about doing something like this, yet nothing works. We still see these shootings year after year. What's missing?
The good news is we are getting better. There are many foil plots that have never culminated in the death. The bad news is we're dealing with human behavior, both on the child end, the student end who's perpetrating these acts, as well as on the adults who are monitoring children and may be missing some warning signs. And as long as we're dealing with human behavior, we're going to have those possibilities for incidents to occur. The good news is we're actually getting better. The bad news is there's no 100% guarantee that we can completely eliminate this or prevent this in any fashion. The thrust of the effort must be a balance of prevention, intervention, mental health support for students, balanced out with basic security and emergency planning. And it has to be a comprehensive approach, not just skewed on one end or the other of the continuum.
Ken Trump, thanks so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
Ken Trump is president of National School Safety and Security Services.